Welcome to Declaration Church Online. We are so glad that you've joined us this morning. Our prayer is that you are deeply encouraged through Pastor John's message and that God would move in your life in a powerful way. God is doing big and amazing things right now in and through our church, and we would so love for you to be a part of it. Before we join the service in progress, I want to share a few quick things with you. We would love for you to interact with us at facebook.com/declarehim. And if you would like more information about all things Declaration Church, please visit us at declaration.org. Now, as we join the service, I would like to say, welcome home.
This morning, just want to welcome you. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Father's Day. If you've got a dad nearby, give him a high five. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that, buddy. Tell him thank you. Happy Father's Day. Well, it's week two of our series, Because You've Asked, and we're answering some questions that has been submitted just right after Easter. Just as I said last week, we kind of put a poll out there and said, what are some things that you would like to hear about, some things you want to talk about? And so we took some of those things and decided to speak about those. I thought it was pretty awesome and relevant because this week we did the same things with the students. And one of the students even chimed in with this question. And the question today that we want to talk about is, how do we hear from God? How do we know that it's God's voice that is speaking to us? Now, let me just say this. This is the 20th year of the anniversary, I should say, of the 20th year of the passing of my dad. So my dad passed away 20 years ago in May, and I'll tell you this: even though he's been gone for 20 years, if I heard his voice, I would immediately know that it's him. Unmistakable, undeniable. I know his voice. Even though I haven't heard his voice in 20 years, if I heard his voice, I would know it instantly. By and large, that's because of my intimate knowledge of the sound of his voice, not just the clearing of the throat from the choir loft when I'm messing around during church in a pew somewhere, right? But I know the sound of his voice because of the nature of the love relationship between us, because the nature of the time even that he invested into me and the time that we spent together. I know my father's voice. So the question is how can we hear the voice of the Father? Does God still speak? To which I emphatically say, yes, he does. God is speaking. He still speaks. I don't know, maybe you were raised in a tradition where he's not really speaking anymore. And I would say that's tragic. How are you going to survive this thing called life, much less the day, if God is not speaking to you, if God is not leading you? And so I just want to just put that out there and say, man, we believe that God still speaks, and he still speaks loudly today. Now, sometimes it feels quiet, but I'm telling you, the voice of God is the loudest voice there is. It's the most powerful voice there is, and we'll get into that in just a minute. The notion of God speaking should not seem too mystical to us as believers or as followers of Jesus Christ, because we look all throughout the scripture and all the way, when you begin in Genesis all the way to Revelation, there's so many stories, I mean story after story of how God speaks. Genesis to John and Revelation, Moses, I mean so many different stories of how God speaks to his people. So thankfully, I'll just say this, the same God who spoke to all of these from Adam to John to anybody in Scripture, in the page of this Bible, the same God who did that speaking is the same God who wants to speak to you and have that kind of intimate relationship with you where you can hear him speaking to you. And he wants to speak to you. Please understand this. If you feel like that God has been silent, maybe some of you for years, if you feel like you cannot hear God, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you in some crazy and profound ways. God wants to speak to you in that moment when you need that instant of wisdom to figure out how to deal in that situation with your student or with your kid. God wants to speak to you and give you that prophetic word of encouragement to go to your brother and sister across the room and say, man, this is weird. Could be the pizza, but I feel like God just told me to tell you this. because that will edify them and encourage them. You have no idea how God has used words like that in my life. Can I tell you this? Three different, I'm totally like, I don't even know if we're going to use these today. But three times in my life, I've had people come to me and say, I feel like the Lord told me to tell you this. Now, I know people get really weirded out by that. Like, I don't know about that. Now, can I tell you something? The word says, do not despise prophetic utterances. You can check them, and you should. Three times people have come to me and said things to me, and all three, some of those people didn't know me from Adam. I was just there at their church doing something. And all three times, those things have checked out and come to pass and have been the most encouraging thing to me, because I can look back on one of them. The guy wrote on a piece of paper, I just noticed he was at Gateway a couple weeks ago singing a song over Gateway for people who were having trouble sleeping because God gave him a song in the middle of the night. And he wrote on this letter, this legal sheet of paper, this whole thing. And man, everything that he said, he didn't know me from Adam. Everything he said that God told him to tell me came to pass. And it was so encouraging. And some of that is actually coming to fruition right now in this thing called Declaration Church. God is speaking. Listen to me. So how do we hear his voice? How do we learn to discern his voice? Can I tell you this? Familiarity breeds recognition. Some of you have come to Declaration now for long enough. You've heard me ramble for a while. And so if I called you on the phone, maybe it's just the way I say something, or maybe you just really know my voice. You'd probably know who it was even without looking at caller ID, because you've heard my voice now so long, you know my voice. And that's the way it is with God. When we begin to listen and we hear him speak enough, even when it feels like it's our voice speaking, right? Because some of you, you'd probably say, well, sometimes I think it's my voice and I wonder if it's God's voice. You begin to learn the characteristics and the nature of how it is that God is speaking, so you can quickly discern, no, this is the Lord speaking to me. Familiarity breeds recognition. We need time to be familiar with God. John chapter 10, verse 14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And so if you're going to hear the voice of God, you got to listen for the voice of God. But the very first thing that you really need to have established, if you want to know and hear and listen to the voice of God, is you've got to know God. You just got to know God. So I'd be amiss if I didn't just take a pause for a second and just say, if you want to be able to hear God speak, if you're in the moment of, maybe your life has been a hurricane for a long time, and some of you, man, I've been walking with you. I love you. And man, I wouldn't wish what some of you have been walking through on my worst enemy. You need the voice of God to speak into your situation. And you need to hear him. But more than just hearing, we're going to get into this in the next series. We need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And so when God speaks, we've got to be ready to go into action. And that means there's some responsibility on our part, right? But we understand we've got to know God. It starts there. So if you don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or let me just say this, if you don't have a relationship with God, it begins and it comes only through Jesus. Because John 14, 6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. When you're drawn by the Spirit of God, he's the method, the message, and the meaning. And we got to come through him. And so if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ saying, I believe you, the story may sound crazy, but I believe it. I'll risk my life on it, and I want to submit my life to you, Jesus. That's the beginning. That's the epicenter. That's the foundation by which you begin to learn to hear God and can listen to God. The Bible says if you've never done that, just call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. I would suggest to you that salvation is not just for your eternal destination for when you die. Maybe some of you need salvation right now in the moment. If you're drowning, you probably need a life raft. You better hear God speak, because he's the one yelling at you, I just threw it out, dummy. You avoided it. Many times God gives us life rafts and we just kind of look at it and look for the next thing. And we'll see that some in this too. I hope I remember to come back to it, because I know where it is in my notes. So we'll get there. We've got to know God if we want to hear God and listen for God. See, can I say this? Many people today claim to hear voices, by which I would say true. A lot of people hear voices. That's not just from horror movies. There's a lot of voices vying for our attention. The question becomes, which or whose voice are we hearing? Which or whose voice are we listening to? And so here's the truth today that I want you to write down. So go ahead and get ready. Write this one down. The voice that you listen to is the voice that is leading you. The voice that you listen to is the voice that is leading you. So how do we hear, how do we discern that it is the voice of God speaking with so many competing voices? I want to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23 over us. And if you feel led and if you're comfortable doing this, stand with me because as I read the word of God, just so that we can honor the word of God. But it says this, Jesus went out to the house and was sitting by the sea. Large crowds gathered around him. He got into the boat. He sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. He tells all the people in this parable, in this story, he says, consider the sower who went out to the sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and they devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. And he says, verse 9, let anyone who has ears listen. Then the disciples came up and asked him, why are you speaking to them in parables? He answered, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables. Because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you'll listen and listen, but never understand. You'll look and you'll look, but you'll never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. Blessed are those eyes because they do see, and those ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, but did not see them, to hear the things you hear, but did not hear them. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no root and it is short-lived. When distress or when persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. So, Father, would you empower your word, and may it be words of life to us. May we hear you, discern your voice, begin to learn to hear and listen and know that is you speaking. Teach us from your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat if you will. Now see, we read all of Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23, but I really want to focus in on verses 1 through 9 this morning. Understand that there's some other points that I'm going to pull from the rest of this text just to help emphasize some things, but we're going to start at verse 1. Jesus goes out of the house. He's sitting by the sea. Crowds begin to gather, as is pretty normal in this frame right here. They're gathering in. So Jesus gets in a boat, kind of pushes off a little bit. The whole crowd's on the shore. I mean, it's a large crowd. And I mean, I imagine Jesus like, hey guys, you're too close. Let's talk without touching. I'm going to move back here, right? You know? And so there he is. They're listening. They're there. And he begins to teach, speaking in this story form or a parable, so they say. A parable is it's a powerful form of communication that helps people connect truth to something tangible. And so here, Jesus begins telling this story, what we know is the parable of the sower. And so he says in verse 1, consider the sower. Think about this. Consider the sower who goes out to sow. So he's going to go out to sow seed. Verse 4, as he sows, some seed fell along the path and birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell along rocky ground, didn't have much soil, grew up fast, came up real quick, but the soil wasn't deep. So when the sun came up, it scorched what grew, and since it had no root, it just withered away quickly. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, but still this other seed fell into good soil and good ground, and it produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times even of the seed that was sown. And he says in verse 9, let anyone who has ears listen. So now listen, you may be wondering, what on earth does this have this passage have with doing like, what does this have to do with hearing the voice of God? And I would say a lot. Here's why. 18 different times in the context of this entire passage, Jesus commands the people to hear, to listen, or to tune in their ears. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So just to understand where we are, four different types of soils. The path, right there on top, it's trampled, birds eat it. Rocky ground, scorched by the sun, it's not dug in. Thorns, weeds, chokes it out, and then good soil produces fruit. This passage has been taught and preached in so many different ways, so many different contexts, so many great points that could be made. That people have used it to talk about salvation. People have used it to talk about eternal security, which is another really great message, not for today. But, you know, I believe this. I believe in the eternal security that comes from Jesus Christ. I mean, it's another topic, like I said, but just to push pause, because I know it was one of the questions. We're not going to spend a week on it, but it was one of the questions that came in. The blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus secures our eternity and our destiny through our belief and our submission in him. Otherwise, if it does not, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because that would say that the blood of Jesus is not powerful enough to forgive all sin. It would say that it's only powerful enough to forgive some sin that were committed. And so it's a whole nother can of worms, but this passage has been used to talk about that. We believe in the eternal security of the believer once they submit to the life of Jesus Christ. So a lot of things can be applicable from Matthew 13, just so you know. But in this passage, there's eight different stories right here in 13, eight different parables with a specific focus. All of these focuses, they regard the will of God and the mission of God. There was a pastor at, I think, First Baptist Church of Peachtree City named Joseph Rogers, who wrote a message called, "Can You Hear Me Now?" So much of this message was inspired from his message. Good stuff, along with Pastor Robert Morris from Gateway Church. Really great stuff on hearing the voice of God. I want to say something, though, that Pastor Rogers said. He said this: this first parable of Matthew 13 is called the parable of the sower, and it is Jesus' autobiography of his mission. So we got to understand, God is always calling us into that next spiritual step. He's always inviting us into mission. He's always speaking to us as we go, ministers on mission. So there's something that we probably need to apply from what we're going to hear today. Let's look at this. As we break this down, we got to ask ourselves, who is the sower in the story? The sower is Jesus. Jesus is the sower. Luke chapter 19, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He casts seed in all directions. So he's always casting seed in every direction. And as he does, that seed falls on every type of soil, any kind of soil, all sorts of types of soil, the seed is falling. He indiscriminately casts his seed into the entire world, clearly making the gospel available to everyone, as we see in John chapter 3, verse 16. Why? Because John 14, 6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. When drawn by the Spirit of God, he's the method, the message, and the meaning. So the gospel message of Jesus, this seed is being cast everywhere at all times. At all times. Now understand, this is not a contradiction in Scripture. It's a point of clarification. God's expressed desire is that no man should perish, but that all would come to Jesus in repentance and submission. But tragically, not everyone who hears the gospel message will receive it and be saved, because every life represents a type of soil. A lot of times the gospel message will fall in places where it might be the path. It might be in the weeds, in the thorns. Only that good soil that God uses will draw people. And so it's very important to understand God sent Jesus for the world. The world. Everybody say the world. Now, also this, listen. This passage gives us insight into the heart of Jesus as the sower. The sower is on mission to redeem lives. The sower knows that there will be other competing voices for our attention and thus our affection. The sower desires that no one should perish, so he casts seed everywhere to everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they're in the middle of right now, no matter what they have been involved in, no matter where they've come from, no matter who they've run with, no matter their past, no matter their stank, no matter their mess, God is going to spread that seed everywhere to everyone because the heart of the sower is that all should come to know him. Do you see it? The sower knows only the seed that falls, though, in fertile soil will bear fruit. But listen, understanding that the sower has been sowing seed everywhere at all times on every type of soil, we are without excuse because the seed has been sown. And the sower is just. He cannot be blamed for seeds that do not bear fruit. Romans 1 speaks to this. We are without excuse. Look around and look at creation. It declares, it screams the manifest glory and reality of the trueness of God. So the seed is there. We have no excuse. So that's the sower. Now let's talk about the seed. The seed is the word of God and the voice of God. It's the gospel message. Jesus came and died for our sins, to purchase our freedom and our forgiveness, to make way for our reconciliation and our redemption, to justify us before God. That seed is there so that once it's planted in that fertile soil, we are understanding that we are justified before God now when we submit our lives to him, meaning he takes our lives and makes them something brand new and justifies us, makes us just as if we had never sinned in the first place. It's also for the instruction of God, for our daily pursuit of his will and righteousness. This is why it's important. I want us to understand it's not just about your eternal destination. It's not one and done. It's not God. You hear God's voice one time. You submit your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yay, you're saved. When you die, you know where your address is going to be. It's actually life for every day. It's instruction for every day. It's hearing and discerning what the voice of God is doing today, leading you today as you're walking in the Spirit of God, as you're abiding in Christ. So the seed is the word and the voice of God. It's not just what God has accomplished through Jesus in the past, only for the purchase of our souls. It absolutely includes what he's doing today in the present, in and through our lives. Therefore, if the seed is the word and the voice of God, we have got to know the voice of God and hear the voice of God because he is speaking to us all the time. The seed of God's voice may be seemingly quiet sometimes, but I'm telling you, it's altogether the most powerful force that can and will produce a fruitful harvest. Can I tell you something about the voice of God? It contains the ability to change a life in an instant. It can command healing in an instant. Listen to me. Everything is under the command and the control of the voice of God. And literally, God breathes creation. He speaks and worlds and stars appear. It is all powerful, the voice of God. Yet, it can be very peaceful at the same time. All powerful, but peaceful at the same time. Have you ever been in the middle of a moment when you realize that everything around you feels so absolutely chaotic, but for some reason you can stand still and know it as well? Have you ever found yourself in that? When Kyle was born and all the doctors were telling us that the odds were against him, he had less than 99% or less than 1% chance of life expectancy is what they said. Tubes and all kind of stuff, alarms and bells and whistles and knickknacks and paddywhacks and everybody, right? It was a mess. And here we are looking at our baby who's about the size of an Ozarka water bottle, whose skin hasn't completely formed yet. And I'm looking out the window of the pod that he's in with seven other babies that are much like him. And out the window, I can look across the highway and see the largest Planned Parenthood in the Northern Hemisphere that aborts babies 25 weeks and younger. And here's my 23-weeker hanging on for life with fingernails and eyelashes. And nothing seemed right in that moment. Everything was chaos all around us. It was just nothing but the epitome of the paradox of emotion and mental anguish. Yet somehow, something in my spirit said, this is okay. You're okay. It's going to be okay. Now, nothing in that translated to me like, he's going to make it. Everything translated that it's okay. You're going to be okay. The still, small voice of God can be the most powerful voice sometimes if we'll listen and he's speaking to us. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Look at that with me. It says this. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Listen, according to Pastor Joseph, who wrote that message, can you hear me now? He said this. The seed of Jesus, when planted into our souls, has the power to redeem lives and rescue them from eternal separation and damnation. Look at Hebrews 4, 12. It says this. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The seed is the word of God and the voice of God. Can I just submit this to you for a minute? If we're going to be able to learn to listen and hear the voice of God, if we're going to be able to discern the voice of God speaking to us, Christians, church people, Jesus followers, we have got to spend time in the word of God. We have got to. We can't expect to live are this remember your spirit, Oprah-esque type of Hallmark theology and think that God is going to lead us the way that we need to go. We've got to spend time with the word of God, submitting our lives to the spirit and the presence of God and learn to listen for him. Even when he says things that may not sound comfortable or sounds like it's going to be fun, because sometimes there's things that God has said that doesn't sound comfortable or fun to me. But you know, it's always for my good and for his glory. The seed is the word and the voice of God. And the word of God and the voice of God is powerful. It's the most powerful force there is, beyond description. See, when God empowers his word through his Holy Spirit, everything not only changes, but everything begins to make sense. It's crystal clear clarity. See, God's voice is not only power for eternal life, but for abundant life, for clarity for our alignment with God, and clarity for our God-created purpose. You want to know God's will for your life, generally speaking, to know him, to make him known. But if you want to start drilling down into God, what is my specific purpose that you've created me here for? You want clarity from God. It's going to come from the word of God, spending time with God, hearing the voice of God speaking to you in the moment and giving you the assignment. And then all of a sudden, you'll begin to understand the purpose that God has placed you on this earth for. Clarity. The seed is the word and the voice of God. But listen, God's seed is but one voice in our lives. It should be the most important voice. It is the most powerful voice. But there are other voices and other seeds that can and will produce some sort of fruit. But only the seed of God will produce godly fruit. It's deeply important for us to know and discern the voice of God, because there is other voices, like I started with. People hear voices. There are other voices that are vying for our attention. Number one, voice of another voice. We'll talk about four of them today. One voice is the voice of Satan, your enemy, the devil. This, of course, is a major competing voice to the voice of God. The enemy likes to manipulate. He likes to mimic the voice of God. He'll use things that even sound and look good and appealing. He'll even use things that look and sound religious to capture your ears and attention. You can learn to discern the voice of the enemy because the enemy speaks the language of shame and accusation. The enemy will often use and speak words of discouragement, temptation, confusion, oppression, and rebellion. The enemy loves to live in the past, reminding you of who you were pre-Jesus. He's the bird of the air, spoken of in Matthew 13, that snatches away the seed on the trampled path. Look at verse 4 again. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. See, the enemy's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He wants to devour the seed. He wants to devour the assignment or the word of God spoken over you and into you before it can bear fruit of destiny. He wants to keep you from the eternal and the abundant life in Christ. He really does. But listen, can I tell you this? All he can do is deceive us. He whispers into our ear to confuse us and turn our attention away from our divine purpose to anything and everything else that would occupy our life and disengage us from the pursuit of God's mission. Let's just take a quick test. A couple questions. Number one, do you feel as if you are engaged in God's mission right now? Number two, do you feel as if you live a life of confusion or a life of clarity? Because see, depending on your answers to these questions, that might help you determine which voice is leading you and which voice that you're listening to for your direction. Now, one reason we may not know, hear, or be able to discern the voice of God is because the enemy's voice is very loud. And can I tell you this? The enemy likes to deal in weapons of mass distraction. Do you see what I did with that? He likes to deal with weapons of mass distraction. Like, for example, busyness. Busyness. I mean, just look at the dichotomy between two sisters, Mary and Martha, in Luke chapter 10. Let's look at it together. Luke chapter 10, 39 and 40. Martha had a sister named Mary who also, what does it say? Sat at the, and was what? Listening to what he said. But Martha was what? By her many what? And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me here to do all this stuff? Why don't you tell her to do something? I mean, think about this. Where was Mary in these verses? She was sitting where? And listening. And where was Martha? And what was Martha doing? Good things. She was taking care of the family. She was grilling the hot dogs for everybody. She was cleaning the kitchen. Hey, Mary, what are you doing? But where is Mary? It's not that we don't grill the hot dogs and clean the kitchen and take care of everybody. But Mary had a deeper understanding of what she needed to do to prioritize how all of these other things were going to make sense. Do you see it? See, too many times, all too often, listen to me, the thing that can interrupt us from our destiny is distraction. The devil can disrupt and derail your destiny through distraction. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Renowned student minister, speaker extraordinary Billy Beacham. He said this, and I've said it to you before, and I'll never forget it. He says, if the devil cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. Because see, all too often, distraction is the tactic that the enemy will use to keep us from listening to, hearing, or obeying the voice of God. We need to spend more time being still before God and listening and waiting rather than just injecting ourselves into the busyness of the chaotic 24/7 lifestyle that our culture tells us we need to be living. Now listen, I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to the choir. Amen. So if we're going to hear and discern the voice of God, we need to free ourselves from distraction. We need to Psalm 46:10 a little bit. Be still and know that he is God. Look at Matthew 13:19. It says, when anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. So the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is exactly what the enemy does through the weapon of mass distraction called busyness. Our lives become the path that the seed falls on, where the birds can come and devour them quickly and easily. Because of the lack of depth, the seed has no place to really root and plant. It stays on the surface. And tragically, this is where most believers live today. It's all they have time for. The voice and the word of God can easily be missed when our focus is so easily misplaced. We need to always be on alert. Think of 1 Peter 5:8. Remember it. We use this a lot so we can remember. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, the enemy, Satan, he likes to parade around like the roaring lion. Like a lion. Remember, his MO is to mimic. He is not the lion. He just wants to be. So he tries to look like the lion. He's not the one. And he is looking for anyone that he can devour. Now just think of that dichotomy. Jesus is about your life and your destiny. That's the most important voice. But the enemy wants to devour you. But that's the voice that we often hear the most, the loudest. Be careful. Be careful. The voice of Satan wants to tempt you. He wants to turn your attention away from God's interest to self-interest. Here's another great test. To the whose voice am I listening to? Do you find yourself more invested in the things that God is interested in, or do you find yourself more invested in the things that self is interested in, that you are interested in? See, the main competing voice that comes against the voice of God is the voice of Satan, your enemy. Another competing voice can also be the voice of self. The voice of self in this, it's the sinful nature that you were born with. It's the old man as described in Scripture, apart from Christ, before Christ. It's the flesh that Paul so eloquently speaks of in all of his writings. It's self-centered, it's self-absorbed, it's self-sufficient. It will starve out the voice of God because it does not want to surrender to God. This is why Paul has this amazing, life-changing, totally theological call to die in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He recognizes it. If I'm going to walk in Christ Jesus, I've got to die to self. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that now lives in me. And now this life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, forsaking all I trust him, F-A-I-T-H. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. According to Galatians 5:17, there's always going to be a battle between flesh and spirit. See this? For the flesh desires what's against the spirit. The spirit desires what's against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. So you don't end up doing what you want to do. There's always this battle. If you truly want to know and hear and learn how to discern the voice of the Father, you got to spend time with the Father. You got to accept the seed, the word of the Father. If you want to know the voice of God, the voice of the Savior, over the voice of Satan and self, we got to die to self daily, surrender our life and our will to the Lord, and just sit before the Lord and wait and listen. See, this is the rocky soil we see in Matthew 13, 5 and 6. Look at that again. Seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It grew up quickly. The soil was not deep. It wasn't deep. Listen, we cannot afford, too much is at stake, too much is on the line. Our kids, just to say that, we cannot afford to be an inch deep and a mile wide as followers of Jesus Christ in this culture. We cannot be consumer Americanized Christians that are looking for entertainment, and if you don't speak the language of what I want in this church, I'm going to go find another one. That's not what you do in family. Actually, it is what American does in family, and that's why the family units are so messed up. If I don't like my wife, I'll find a new one. Do you see it? If you didn't do what I wanted you to do, then fine. I'll get rid of you. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. It's not what God has created us for, designed us for. It is definitely not the abundant life. We are living a pipe dream that is a lie of the enemy if we think that we were designed just for me, myself, and I. It is not. We were designed for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And he wants to speak that glory into us so that we contain it, so that everywhere we go, we are spreading the seed of God for other people to hear him and to see him. Let me get back to the notes. I apologize. We'll wrap up here in a second. When we allow ourselves to listen or lean into distraction and busyness, we end up only hearing the voice of Satan or the voice of self. And if we do this, our lives become shallow at best, and the word of God will never really have root in us. And it becomes impossible to hear God or walk with God or abide with God or walk in the Spirit of God. It becomes impossible to do the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 thing where we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, but in everything that we do, acknowledging him so that he will make our path straight. If you wonder why your path is so messed up all the time, I would ask you, are you trusting, acknowledging, listening, walking, abiding with, and yielding to the Spirit of God, surrendering? Do you see that? We must die to the voice of self by submitting our lives to the cross daily if we want to be able to hear the voice of God. See, it's a lot more complex than we thought. We just said, hey, Pastor, would you just tell us how to hear God? I am. But it ain't easy. You know why? Because it's a call to die. Another voice that challenges us often, that we must contend with, is the voice of society and culture. See, the voice of this world is always screaming to us the culture of this world that we should subscribe to. It never stops screaming for our attention. And can I say this? When we give our attention to the voice of the world, watch this, we end up giving our affections to the voice of the world. And hear me just for a minute. The voice of culture and the voice of the world is very seductive. Everywhere and anywhere that you turn, the voice of this world will be there singing the praise of Satan while serenading the desire of you, yourself. Every time. This is why we need to live for the culture of Jesus rather than live the culture of this world. If you look at Matthew 13:7 again, see, Jesus likens the voice of the world and culture to weeds and thorns that seek to strangle the voice of truth. Look at 7. Other seed fell along among thorns, and the thorns came up and they choked it. The voice of society has such a great pull on so many people, but truthfully, it's nothing but part of the enemy's weapon of mass distraction and destruction. And we must become intentional to disregard the voice of Satan, to die to the voice of self, and deny the voice of society so that we can learn to lean in and listen to the voice of our Savior. The voice of God can actually seem very small sometimes and quiet, but again, it's actually the most powerful force there is. So how can we know the voice of God? How can we discern this? The voice of God is the only true voice that will speak life and hope and purpose and truth to you. His voice will never contradict his word. Now see, we do that. We want this thing to be adjusted to fit our lifestyle. But really, our lifestyle needs to be adjusted to fit what this says. But the voice of God will never contradict the word of God. It never will. And it will never compromise the mission of God. God does not speak to indulge us, but to encourage us. He doesn't speak to cater to us, sometimes to correct us lovingly, but always to conform us into more like his image. And his voice will always invite us deeper into his mission. This is why most often we'll say, what is the next spiritual step God is inviting you to take? Because we have an understanding. God is inviting you to take that next step into his mission. But we can only truly begin to hear God speak when we're willing to truly surrender and submit to his word and to his spirit. So let me just give you 10 practical quick things that Pastor Robert Morris says about how the voice of God works in the Bible. 10 ways that God speaks. This is 1. God speaks through circumstances. I would simply say, see Jonah. Not Jonah in the back, Jonah in the Bible, okay? See the book of Jonah. And I'll tell you this. Sometimes those circumstances we invite on ourselves, we do not want that. So again, see Jonah, all right? But God sometimes speaks through circumstances. Maybe you're walking in the middle of a circumstance right now that is not comfortable. But can I tell you something? The time I've heard God speak to me the loudest was not on the mountain, but it was in the valley. It was not when everything was perfect. It was in the dark night of the soul. God speaks through circumstances. 2, God can speak through wise counsel. See Proverbs. Honestly, at our church, this is why I've surrounded ourselves with elders and overseers, because I need wise counsel to make godly decisions. I want to do everything that we can as a church to walk completely in lockstep with God. I don't want us to take one step in any direction unless we know that God is leading us there. So I surround myself with wise counsel. Wise counsel is very important. We can hear the voice of God speaking through wise counsel. But let me say this. Wise counsel will always complement Scripture and not contradict it. You may surround yourself with counsel, but wisdom will only come from the Lord, okay? If you want to know kind of the sum total of your life, like who am I? This is another message, let me give you a little commercial. Sum total of your life, look at the 5 people you surround yourself with. That will be the sum total of your life. If they make really great decisions that honor God, chances are, you might too. If you surround yourself with a bunch of people that are a bunch of hood rats doing hood things, you're probably not going to make good decisions. Probably hood decisions, all right? Just so you know. I grew up in the 409, the Huntsville. That's how we do. Number three, God can speak through peace. Look at Colossians 3:15 with me really quickly. Through peace. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. See, according to Pastor Robert Morse, the word rule doesn't mean to merely exist, but to reign or to be the deciding factor. Meaning, if you've got a decision to make, you got to check in your spirit, you push pause. You don't move forward. Because if you don't have peace in that decision, chances are it's not the right decision God wants you to walk into. So that God can speak through peace. Number four, God can speak through people. This is all throughout the Bible. This is what I was alluding to. Sometimes God is going to put a word on your heart. Please be careful. Do not go to somebody and say, hey, God said. That's a dangerous thing. You know what I say? I feel like the Lord has told me something, but you're going to have to check it for yourself. And what I mean is check it against this and check it against peace and check it all these things. When you start being the mouthpiece for God, you better understand you're just taking on the accountability of what you just told somebody. So just be careful, but don't shy away from it. I believe this. Listen, there are so many times you need to be encouraged from somebody, and God wants to use his agents, his missions on mission to do just that, to exhort you and to encourage you. This is why we've got gifts of the Spirit, to exhort the church. And so, man, do not be ashamed. Do not shy away. And definitely, church, do not stiff arm that. Do not despise prophetic utterances. God will speak through people. Number five, God speaks through visions and dreams. See Joseph, see Solomon, see Jacob, see Paul, see John, see Peter. I mean, as this relates to us, see Acts 2, see Joel 2. In the end times, he's going to pour out dreams and vision. He's going to raise up prophets and young people and old people alike. He's going to do all these things. God speaks through dreams and visions. Do you know that in the Muslim world right now, many people are coming to Jesus because they're meeting him in their dreams. He's coming to them in their dreams. Man, if God gives you, if there's a dream you have, you better wake up the next morning asking, Lord, are you speaking to me through that? Are you speaking? He speaks through dreams and visions. Number six, God can speak through our thoughts. Look at Amos chapter 4, verse 13. It talks about it and reveals his thoughts to man. He might place that right into your head. You begin to check it. Lord, is this consistent with what we see in your word? He speaks through our thoughts. Number seven, he can speak through natural manifestations. Romans 1, I spoke about it. If you look at Romans 1 and read it, there's some hard stuff in there, but there's also some beautiful stuff in there talking about how we're without excuse when we just look at all of creation around us. It declares the magnitude, the magnificence, and the glory of God. We are without excuse. God speaks through natural manifestations. Nothing more natural to me than when I'm on the mountain at Colorado about to ski down. Only the greens and the light blues, you know what I'm saying? I'm old. But man, I can just take that breath of fresh air of that mountain and look around and just see the glory of God on display. But can I say this? While God also speaks through natural manifestations, he speaks through supernatural manifestations as well. Stuff that cannot be easily explained by human vocabulary. Let me just go here. Exodus 3, God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, not being consumed, but on fire. Judges 6, he speaks to Gideon through a fleece. Acts 9, he speaks to Saul on the Damascus Road in this flash of bright light. Numbers 22, he speaks to Balaam through a donkey. Some of you may have been spoken to through a donkey. It's Father's Day. Be nice, wives, okay? But he speaks through supernatural manifestations. Number nine, God speaks through the Bible. And this is the best place where he's going to speak to you. In fact, all of the other things, you got to line up and be consistent with this. 2 Timothy 3, Scripture is always the voice of God in a general sense, that God inspired the words of Scripture. Hebrews 4:12, just like we read earlier, he speaks specifically to us through the Bible by drawing us to a particular passage to our attention. Because the word of God is living and active. Quick story. There was a friend of mine who went through a horrible situation. And I didn't understand it, but for whatever reason, God said, you need to take him to this book of Jeremiah, this chapter right here. I had to go read it because I was like, okay, this seems random, but what is this? And even when I read it, I was like, okay, that's, I guess, kind of encouraging. At least it didn't say, and God smite you. It didn't say that, right? But you know what? Man, that was words of life to my friend. I mean, it was like, it was the life raft. It was living water in a desert that he was crawling through looking for anything. It so changed his circumstance and his perspective in that moment. Today, there's a church named after that passage of scripture. That's how powerful God used that passage. Number 10, God can speak through a whisper. 1 Kings. This is the way he spoke to Elijah. See, God is still speaking today, and you can hear his voice. And the last thing that we would talk about, we don't have time for, but it's the soils, and that's really you and me. Where are we? What type of soil will we be? Whose voice are we listening to? Would you close your eyes this morning with me as we wrap up today? Just understand these four types of soils represent the condition of our hearts. And that condition of your heart will directly correlate to your ability to hear God speaking. You know, one of the things that I do often when I need to hear from God is this. Maybe you've been walking with us for a while. You've seen it in 21 days of prayer. You saw it through movement, through our book together. But I'll just say, God, would you silence all created voices right now, because I only want and need to hear from the uncreated voice. Now listen, if you believe God the way I do, he is the only uncreated voice in every other voice he created. So when I ask my Father to silence all created voices because I only need to hear from the uncreated, you better believe that I believe he's doing exactly that right then. Because he knows how serious I am. God, I need to hear from you. And then I will proceed to ask him the questions that I need to ask. And you know that sometimes the answer comes back, it sounds a lot like my voice, but immediately in that moment of faith, I dismiss that because I have just in faith asked my Father to silence every voice under heaven that he has created, because I needed to hear from his uncreated voice. And maybe right now in this moment that you're walking through, you need to hear from the voice of the uncreated. You can hear God. He is speaking to you. He passionately loves you. He is for you. He is with you. He has never left you. He has never abdicated you to one of these other voices. Even when we chase the other voice, he's with you. And so, man, it's time for the people of God to get serious about the voice of God and the word of God. If you're walking through something right now, if you're not walking through something, you're about to walk into it. I'll tell you that. But maybe right now where you are, you need to say, God, would you silence every created voice? I need to hear from the uncreated one, which is you, my Father. Listen, you know the Father's voice when you spend enough time with it. And for all of the other voices that will try to compare and try to compete, the moment the Father speaks, it doesn't matter how well those other voices try to make their voice sound like the Father. The moment the Father speaks, you will know it is him. He has told you time and time again. You can hear God speak to you. He's speaking. He wants to have this relationship with you. And these things that we've discussed today, this is how that begins. So, Father, would you silence every created voice today? Your people need to hear you. They need to hear from their Father. And would you speak to them and give them the guidance and the direction that they so desperately need? And we pray this in your name, Jesus, the name above every name. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor John. I want to thank you so much for being with us today for Declaration Church Online. I want to encourage you. We want to be your church family, and we'd love to connect with you. If you want to reach out to us, say hello, maybe send a prayer request, or just share a testimony of how God is moving your life, you can do that through declaration.org/connect. Also, man, God is doing some incredible things right now. If you'd love to join the movement and find out all of the vision that God is pouring out in this church right now, go to jointhemovement.org. You can give to Declaration to be a part of this mission through declaration.org, or you can text the word declaration to 77296. Man, we hope to see you again, either in person at the campus or online right here. God bless.